Well, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. Which one first? The bad is we're talking about your family today. All right. I've been making some phone calls. It's pretty rough. So, we are talking about your family today, but it's actually good. And I'm excited to get to share about it and talk about it today. And I think before this is over with, you'll see where this is going. And I think you'll be glad that we did. Want to just say again, for those that weren't in here a little bit ago, thank you to those that came yesterday and helped make yesterday happen and giving away the food and all that kind of stuff. Just kind of tell you a little bit, because if you weren't here, you just don't really know what yesterday was like. It was a little different than it has been in the past. We had a lot of volunteers. For a change, though, we didn't have a lot of people come get food. And we assumed just because it was so cold and in most of the, with this thing moving around now, I'm sure a lot of these people don't really know facility to facility. And most of the facilities that we have these things at their schools, a lot of times they have to stand outside. And a lot of them get to this thing at like 5 o'clock in the morning, just to be some of the first in line to make sure that they're able to fill their cart full, kind of a thing. And so they're just that desperate for food. And so, which will make you count your blessings. But in doing this, we assume the cold thing probably scared some of them away. Well, we came in and we had, not anywhere near as many people as we usually do. So we gathered the troops when we got ready to start serving people and taking people through the line and everything. And I just asked everybody before we prayed, I just said, look, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you just to, get on your social media or whatever and tell people, that there's food here, even if you need to come get it and take it to friends or family or, if you need it, that's fine, whatever, but just come get it and help us give it away kind of thing. And we went from really thinking we're going to be sitting on a pile of food before this is over with to in the end, we end up ministering to 200 and something families, which is equivalent of, I think they said, because they count, they tell you how many people is in each family when they're getting food and whatever, which I think was like 700 and something people, basically, that we gave food to yesterday. And I promise you, there wasn't like, 75 people in here to start with. So, I'm just like, they told me that, and I'm like, how in the world did that even happen? I don't even know. And it's just a God thing. And so I just appreciate everybody. Appreciate everybody sharing stuff like that on social media and getting the word out. There's no reason in us doing that other than we just want to serve and be Jesus to others and that kind of thing. So thank you for those that served yesterday and just helped get the word out and all that kind of stuff. We really appreciate it. It's such a blessing to get to do that and to get to minister with you guys is amazing. Some of you just absolutely were killing it yesterday, and I'm so appreciative of that. So thank you. So talking about the family thing, talking about community today, talking about community, we're talking about family, and we're talking about how basically they're one and the same. And we're going to kind of talk about that. I want you to kind of think for just a second, ask you a couple of questions about your family. Some of you have like some crazy family members, okay? Like Cousin Eddie on something that we don't even know how they cooked it up out of stuff at the gas station, okay? I mean, like, just crazy, crazy family members in your family, okay? And let me kind of, as we're talking about some of this stuff today, and you're gonna be thinking about some of them and going, I don't want to think about them. Just bear with me, because I want you to remember this. I want you to remember this. We're all sinners. They're sinners, we're sinners, and here's the truth of it all. Everybody in the church, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. And the beauty of that is that God's mission, outside of bringing himself glory, the way he brings himself glory, is God saves sinners. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Now, people that are not in the church, people outside of the church, the biggest reason people don't go to church is because they say, well, the church's full of hypocrites. It absolutely is full of hypocrites. You know why? Because we're all sinners. And here's the truth. We're saved sinners. We're saved hypocrites, okay? And the way that works is that because we've been saved, we've been made righteous and perfect in the eyes of God, but the truth is we're still sinners and we still fall. But Jesus has made up the difference because he's better, like we just sang. He's made up the difference for us that we can know God personally, that we can have a relationship with him. So as we're talking through this stuff today, you're gonna be real apt to go back to default mode. And default mode for a whole lot of people this day and age is you stay over there and I'm going to be over here, okay? And it's because of things like you've been burned in the past and people have done you wrong or whatever it is. And it could be family, it could be people at churches, it could be people here, it could be your neighbor, it could be somebody that you live with in your house. I mean, any number of things, okay? And here's the truth. We all let each other down. You know why? Because we're sinners. That's right. You got it. You're doing good. We're doing good. All right. So, just want to keep tracking with that. So this morning, as I want us to think about this, we're gonna go straight to Jesus, okay? Because that's how we work here. And I want us just to kind of take a few minutes and look at what did Jesus do living his life and doing ministry and all of these things. Jesus was very purposeful in how he did this. Nathan has done an awesome job the last couple of weeks talking about discipleship, and specifically last week, really like honing in, what does that look like? And he purposely has been dancing around the piece that I'm talking today, which also fits within what he was talking about last week, because he knew that I'd be doing this today. And so last week, he kind of landed the plane on the thought process that for us to live out making disciples, and by the way, you've seen some stuff around here that's saying, love God, love people, live gospel, make disciples. And we've purposely tagged that on there because we feel like that is so important for us as a church to maintain and be sure. And I could argue 10 different ways, how make disciples fits into the others. But the truth is it's so important to our calling and to our mission as a church that we want it to be a part of that it's out there and it's out in front. And so as we're talking about making disciples, a lot of people, when they hear making disciples, they're like, oh, I have bad memories of Bible drills or Sunday schools where, there were felt boards and I was afraid that the animals on the ark might attack me as a small child. So just put all that away, okay? Because today we're talking about the community that we saw Jesus himself live in, okay? So here's what we see. Nathan talked about a little bit that we see Jesus specifically, he has the 12, he has the disciples, right? And then in amidst the 12, he had three. And so he had the 12 that he lived in community with, but then Jesus also had three other guys that were like his main guys. We would see Jesus over and over go to these guys, Peter, James, and John, who would be like his three guys out of the 12, okay? And they were like his go-to guys. And you and I, we understand what that's like. I've got like three or four friends in my life right now that are like my go-to friends. And like, and I love those guys and I'm so thankful and glad that they're in my life. And at the end of the day, we like scheme and cook up stuff that we're just crazy, okay? And you know how it is. But we need those people in our lives that we can go to. We can bounce stuff off and go, am I crazy for thinking this? Where am I? And we can push each other to Jesus. And specifically speaking, as Nathan was talking about last week, we're starting these things called life transformation groups here at 24. And this is something that should flow naturally out of some of those relationships, honestly, where we've got close relationships with people, but that we would get together once a week outside of community groups, house churches, outside of Sunday morning services, whatever, and that we would get together and that we would push each other to Christ. And how we would do that is that we would breathe in, remember this? We would breathe in Scripture through the week, be reading some Scripture, through the week. And then when we get together, we would breathe out how God spoke to us, how God is speaking to us, what God's doing in our hearts, what God's doing in our lives. And then turn around and a natural thing that happens when we spend time with Jesus, when we spend time in his word, which is one of the most important things that we can do, by the way, okay? Going to church, not enough. In fact, we're going to debunk that here in just a little bit. One of the most important things we can do is spend time in God's word. And when we do, he convicts us. Why do we need convicting? Because we're sinners. All right? Don't you love that? Don't you love being known that you're a sinner? I mean, like, just claim it, for what it is, all right? Because the beauty of it is Jesus saves us from it, right? And so for us to recognize that we're sinners, and we know that when we're in Scripture, God is going to convict our heart. He's going to convict our heart of, because we're sinners, of sin. All right? And so when he convicts our heart of sin, one of the things that Scripture tells us to do is to confess it. And so when we're able to be with friends like that in a situation like that, we're able to confess that sin to one another. So we're not just taking in Scripture. We're not reading for, you know, the book report style of reading, you know, kind of thing. Well, I'm just trying to get the information. No, you're reading to listen to God. We're reading to hear from him, to allow him to speak into our lives. And what happens is he convicts our heart. Then comes the obvious sin in our lives. Then we can confess it to one another. And then we're able to pray for one another. We're able to push on each other. We're able to say, hey, I see this in your life. Let me just encourage you with this. Don't beat yourself up this way. Or, hey, let me beat you up for Jesus for just a minute, okay? You know, you ever done that? You ever feel like you need to beat somebody up for Jesus just a little bit? It happens, okay? You know, it's done with love. But the beauty of it is that we're acting out something that we see Jesus himself doing. So Jesus has his three, right? Okay, Jesus got his three. We talked about the life transformation group stuff, and we're trying to model something that we see Jesus doing there. But then Jesus also had the 12, okay? So Jesus also has the 12. And with the 12, you know, I mean, they're first of all, you've got a group of disciples, and Nathan even mentioned this. I mean, they're like all over the map. They're fishermen, they're tax collectors, some of them probably in like the trade industry and in many ways and things. We don't even know what they all did, but guaranteed they're all sinners, okay? And so he gets together with these guys, and they're floating around. They're doing ministry together and everything. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's probably moments that Jesus is just like, hey, Peter, James, and John, hey, can we just like, let's plan on ditching them in the next town. Let's just go on and, you know, the bill at the Mexican restaurant is getting kind of high. You know, Bartholomew just really can't stay off the cheese dip, you know, so let's, you know, but anyway, and so, but he doesn't do that. And there's a purpose that he doesn't do that. Jesus understands the importance of community. He understands the importance of having other people in his life. Here's what's happening. Jesus, these guys were his what? His 12 disciples. Jesus understood that by living in community with them, he would be making disciples of them. You see, making disciples is not as hard as what we think it is, okay? And I think we hear that terminology and we're so used to hearing it attached to programs and churchy stuff and whatever that at the end of the day, we don't realize we're making disciples all the time. You're making disciples. If you've got kids at your house, you're making disciples of your kids. Now, what are you making disciples of? I don't know, you know? You know, the teacher will probably tell you at school, you know, if you go ask her, you know, and just be like, hey, teacher, how's my kid doing? You know, what are you seeing in my kid? Well, they'll probably tell you, well, your kid come in here the other day and they was, you know, like they kind of started throwing some words around that I was excited. I wasn't too excited about, you know, and like, well, you know, they heard that at the house. Well, you make disciples of that. You know what I mean? And we make disciples of all kinds of stuff. You know, and that's the truth of it. And we're making disciples of one another all the time. We're making disciples of the people that we work with in certain ways. You know, even in like small things like you really love to eat at this place. And so you're trying to get the people that you work with on a regular basis to really like the place that you really want to eat all the time. Why? Because you want to eat there. Well, what are you doing? Well, you're making a disciple of them to do that. You don't even realize you're doing it, but that's what you're doing. And so the truth is that as we are living life with one another, we're making disciples. Not just like I'm making a disciple of you, but we are both making disciples of each other. And so it's this beautiful process. It's this beautiful thing that we see Jesus himself live out. And you say, well, Chris, I don't like people. Well, I understand that. And there's probably some good reasons for some of that. Let me encourage you in this way. I think Satan likes to use the things from our past a lot of times to trick us into believing and thinking that we're better off on our own. But I'm going to show you Scripture today that tells you otherwise. Let's look at this. I want to look at Titus chapter 2. We're going to bounce through several passages really quick. In fact, now let's go to Acts 2. Forget it. We're going to go to Acts 2. It's just totally not even, like, well, I think we've got this, but I even told him, I was like, I don't even know if we're going to do it. We're going to do it. I'm going to try to roll us through as much stuff as I possibly can, okay? So I'm going to try to be as quick as I can with each of these pieces. In the very beginning, God created man. But when God created man, what did he say? He said it's not good for him to be alone. So he gave him woman, right? Thank you, Jesus, right? Guys, thank you, Jesus. Can I get an amen? All right, good deal. Every dude that just did nothing is getting nudged right now. Acts 2, verse 42 is this passage that we have shared on and off a whole lot over the last couple of years. And it is because it is so heavy on our heart that we want to push people to live this way, that we would live this way. Not just trying to get people to do it, that we would do it all together, that we would live this way. Verse 42, it says, I just want to read it quick. I'm not going to talk a whole lot about it. It gives us a picture that I want us to kind of start with as kind of a grounding point. It says this, and it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is after Jesus went back to be in heaven, you know. They devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. I want you to think about this for just a second. I want you to think about, like, if your actual family, and some of you can say, my family actually does live this way. But I want you to think about, like, if your actual family actually lived this way. Okay, well, I'm talking about your blood relatives here, okay? If your blood relatives actually lived this way, that you would devote yourself to apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, to praying together, and then it goes on, selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. In verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I love this passage of Scripture. It's beautiful. I mean, it is awesome to get to see God working through His people. And they're living out something that God has led them to do and God is leading us to do. And we look at a passage like that, we think, you know, that's a lot of stuff. You know, I don't know if I'm ready to eat with people. Some people are very introverted, and, you know, they're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to, like, just be ready to sell my stuff if people need it. Let me help us to understand something about our stuff, okay? This is just biblical understanding of our stuff, 101, okay? It's not our stuff. I know in your head, you're thinking like I think. I think, man, I have worked hard. This week, I've worked hard this week. I'm talking about me personally, Chris Royalty. I have sold machines this week. I have worked on machines this week. I've done all kinds of stuff outside of the church work stuff that I've done this week. I mean, you've just been around my basement anytime. I mean, it's like changing every day. You know, and it's a blessing. But at the end of the day, the temptation for me as Chris Royalty to fall into is to go, I did all of that. I earned that. It is mine. And God had to wake me up years ago and just show me it is not mine. It's His. He created it. And it is in it. Every single thing is His. And here's how He blesses us, and it's a mind shift for us when we're not thinking about it this way, but it's a mind shift for us. And the way we've got to see it is that God has blessed us with getting to be managers of those things. whether it's money, whether it's possessions, whatever it is. And so when it comes to this understanding of these people that were living together, maybe not even in the same house, maybe some of them actually were, and I'm sure that they were, you got to think about like the community in that day and age is very different in how they lived. And I mean, literally like living next door and probably sharing houses and sometimes living on top of one another as far as like apartments and that kind of thing and all this stuff. But when you look at this and you see this, what you're seeing is you're just seeing people that are loving God to the point that when they're in community with others that are also pursuing Jesus and they see them genuinely in need, they're not going to let them go without. They're not going to let their friend. Great case in point we've seen last couple weeks actually has been a couple of families just come up and, you know, at the last minute in need of heaters, you know, here. People part of our church, people not a part of our church, it doesn't matter. But we've just seen people in need, and all kinds of people stepped up and say, I got a heater. I walked up out front today, there's a kerosene heater sitting on the front steps. I don't even know where that came from, you know? But it's just this understanding that we, you know, what good is stuff if we don't share it? What good is our stuff if somehow God can't use it for His glory, for His kingdom, you know? You go, Chris, I'm not sure how God could use some of my stuff. I know how you feel. I have to think about that sometimes. And sometimes it's just the fact that I get to sit on it for a little while, and me and my family and friends get to enjoy it for a little while, and then it moves on, and it just becomes something tangible that we sell that helps somebody, helps us in a moment, whatever it is. But it's this understanding, it's this idea, it is a way of life. And that's what Jesus was living out. He was living out this way of life. If you go to Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says this. It says, who gave himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Right here is a passage of Scripture that's talking about Christ and His sacrifice, the sacrifice of His life for us to redeem us from all lawlessness. And I want you to pay real close attention to what it says there. It says, and to purify for Himself what? A people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. God did this not just to save us, but that we would be a people together. You see that? That we would be a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. That we would be a people who are excited to serve Him. We would be a people who are excited to live the gospel, you know? That's the deal. Not that we would be a people that felt like we were chained to some religious stuff, to feel guilty if we didn't do things. No, that's legalism. And we talk against that all the time here. This is talking about that we would be a people who are so grateful and in love with Jesus that we are, what, zealous for good works, that we are excited about getting to follow Jesus and living our lives for Him. That's a whole different mindset. And that kicks the religious stuff to the curb, and it makes it all about Jesus. Matthew 5:16. Like I said, we're going to bounce. Matthew 5:16 says this. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine before others. Now, we're going to leave this on the screen for just a minute because I really feel like this is a great example of us living in community with one another. I love this terminology. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let me ask you a question. How in the world can we glorify God by letting our light shine if we don't do it before others. You see, the whole concept of God being glorified is I think most simply put in the understanding of like of making him famous. We can't make God famous to nothing. You know, I mean, you could. I mean, God himself did it in his own way through nature and through the creation of mankind. And I mean, all things. But I mean, at the end of the day, our calling, one of the biggest parts of our mission is that in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is talking about us living lives together, that we're sharing our lives with one another. And let me just remind you that in doing so, although we don't really think about it this way a lot of times, in doing so, what we're doing is we end up making disciples of one another by sharing our lives with one another. And I know, like, already you're like, I just want to come to church on a Sunday morning. With love in my heart, if that is really what you want to do, I'm just telling you, and I'm saying this with the love in my heart from Jesus, but this is where I got to Jesus juke you just a little bit, okay? You're missing it if that's really what you want to do. You've missed it. If your life with Jesus is nothing more than Sunday morning deals, you've missed it. This is a way of life. This is something that God has called us to that takes sacrifice. Imagine that, right? That we might give up something, right? Because we are so important and busy, aren't we? I mean, aren't we so important and busy? I mean, we're so important and busy that to think about like doing what Nathan's been talking about, Life Transformation Group, like taking an hour out of our week to meet with a couple other people and to talk about how God's been speaking to us through his word and sharing, you know, the things we've been convicted about and praying for one another, an hour. You know, oh my gosh, I can't do an hour. I can't do an hour. I got work. I got kids, you know? Hour. Much less might I even think about trying to live out some kind of Acts 2 picture where I join other people and we actually try to eat together every week. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like the Acts 2 thing that we're seeing here, they're eating together all the time. It's probably not once a week, you know? I mean, they're literally probably living their lives together. But it's because they love Christ and they love what he's done for them and they love each other. And they see the need that they have for one another, that they would let their light shine before others so that before one another they could see their good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, I gotta tell you this. One of the interesting dynamics of being on a church staff and being working with other pastors, and I can speak of this, and I don't think they will mind. For the last year, especially, Joey and Nathan and I specifically, and even Penny and others, you know, that are not pastors but are part of the process with us and are very close in and serving deacons too. We have had moments where some of us have just been like going through like real rough patches. I mean, every single one of us have been in really rough spots over the last year or so. But the beauty of those moments has been, looking back on it, is seeing how God has, number one, protected his church, but has protected us and encouraged us because the others were there. So like when one fell down, the others were like there to like hold on to him and be like, it's okay, we got this. We got this together kind of thing. Because if it was all on one person, you know, I mean, chances are he'd probably just been like, boom, I'm out. You know, I can't do it anymore kind of thing or whatever it is. That's real gospel community. Those are people that speak Jesus into my life and remind me of the truth of things when I need to hear it. And I'm able to do it for them, and that's what we need. And here's the thing: is for so many of us, we've made our Christian walk, we've made church, we've made all these things like another. It's like it's another thing that we juggle, instead of realizing that it is not another thing that we juggle. It is central to our lives, and how we juggle everything else should be handled based upon who Jesus is to us. And in us. And so what happens is, you know, we get busy. We don't mean to. I mean, we love Christ. We love what Jesus has done for us. We're grateful to God. We want to do the right thing. Sometimes we're not real sure what that is. And at the end of the day, we don't realize that we let this ball drop that we thought was just a ball, you know, this is going to be important. Community is going to be important. Or these people in my life are important or whatever. I had to let them drop because we had, you know, I don't know, we had the Pinewood Derby, you know, became so important in our lives. I mean, just pick a thing, you know. I mean, there's like so many things in this world that like we can come up with that like can become so important in our lives that like, oh, you know, I have to keep chasing that thing down because now it's helping pay the bills or whatever. And believe me, I understand. And at the end of it all, Jesus left this example for us that he himself lived with these guys, did life with them, shared with them, and without them probably even realizing it, most of the time he was discipling them. And without me realizing it over the years, I've been discipled by other people that have been around me just because they've been a steady part of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so passionate about this now because I realize how God has used that in my life. And I don't want other people to miss it. I don't want other people to think that Sunday morning's all. And we're just going to do what's good enough or whatever we've got in our mind, however we're trying to do some kind of measure and legalistic thing, which is not what God wants us to be doing anyway. He's looking for people who are zealous for good works. Because of what he's done in their lives, that we just love him and we want to pursue him. And part of that is that we pursue relationships with other people, that we live in community with others. Romans 12:4 says this. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. But we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." This shows us, and there's other passages about, you know, being a part of the body and that kind of thing. This shows us and helps us to understand that when we become Christians, this is really important, by the way, when we become Christians, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We gave the lordship of our life to Jesus. Actually, he just took it. Can't really give what's not yours to begin with. We received Jesus, and he took over. And in the takeover of that, part of our understanding of that is that not only do we belong to him, but as a part of the body, we belong to it. And this passage right here and saying, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another," is helping us to see we actually belong to each other. So here's what happened, my friend. You may not realize this, but on the day that you became a Christian, you fell right smack dab into one of the messiest families on the planet. It's true. It's true. We've become brothers and sisters in Christ. We've become family. And for us to realize that, for us to see that, you know, look at 2 Corinthians 6:18. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says this. It says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Got to hang out with somebody this week that just, you know, don't know the person really well, but they just started sharing. And it was actually yesterday. And they just started sharing that that their dad didn't have anything to do with them. And in that moment, I thought to myself of this verse. I'm going to leave it up on the screen. What does it look like for somebody like that when they're able to read, "And I will be a father to you"? Now, I'm blessed with such a great dad. And I'm so thankful for that. But for all of us to understand the weight, the gravity that God is saying, I'll be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. That basically God says, you know what? I'm going to adopt you. I'm going to choose you despite all of your jacked up junk. And I'm going to love you as my own, and now you're my son or you're my daughter. That's huge. That's huge. So when we begin to think about this, we begin to see this, we begin to understand this whole idea of that we are family. You know, remember the song? We are family. Yeah. When we begin to think about it like this, it changes a little bit. Some things change. What you think? Let me ask you a question here. This is a good one. If your sister, let's say you got a sister. I don't have a sister, but let's say you got a sister, okay? Your sister calls you and you care for her. You love her because she's your sister. You know, she might be annoying, okay? Let's just face it, most are. And she calls you and she says, "Hey, I'm on the side of the road and it's the middle of the night. And I can't get anybody else to answer their phone. Can you come and help me?" What are you going to do? Go, "I'm tired." Click. Or, "Well, all right, you picked a fine time to break down on the side of the road, but I'm going to come get you." That's what we're going to do, right? Jeff Foxworthy's example is that you would go defend her honor on top of the water tower, right? What we do for family is really important to us. And it's important for a reason. God's come and he has said, "And I will be a father to you. And you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." In case there was any question involved. Here's what we do. We say we're going to go to church or we're going to do church or whatever, right? This is common terminology, especially in the South. But here's the deal. We might go to see family, but we don't go to family. They're already family. We don't do family. So why do we do church? And it's because we've just been taught wrong. It's because we've been led to believe that church is really all about Sunday mornings, and it's not. The church is the body of believers. And for us together to see that and to see that we belong to the Father and that we belong to one another brings an importance suddenly about how we treat our family, right? That we're family. We're all family here. I don't know if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're family. You know, you're family to me. If we've got needs, we should be willing to live out what we see. In fact, Scripture gives out like this, you know, list of things in different places. If you bounce around, if you want the Scriptures to them later, things about that we should share as family in Christ, like property, the gospel, Christ's suffering and glory. Even the money given to the church was shared for the ministry of the church, that the people, that the body together would get to enjoy the ministry that God would do, kind of thing. And so this whole concept of us being family together, you know, this is who we are. This is our identity. Let me help you like this. Think about like this. For me personally, I can go back and look at my lineage or whatever. And my mom loves working on this stuff. And she's, I don't know, she's got us, who we're related to, like Pocahontas or something. Go figure. it's like Elena's twin, right? So, it is. And so, just tell her I said it because she's over in the kids right now. But no, seriously, you know, you go back, you look at the family tree, and you see who you're related to, and really, I only know my dad, and only know my grandparents, only know that far back. I don't know any further back because, my dad, especially on his side, you know, he was the baby of six, and so when I go back and I begin thinking about him, I think about his dad, Marshall Royalty. And then I think about my dad, David Royalty, and I think about, you know, the name that I've been given and that I carry all of, you know, will carry the rest of my life, right? That's a part of my identity because that's my dad and Marshall was my grandfather. And then the man that was his dad, you know, I mean, it goes on and on, but that's been our identity. Because it was given to us. We don't have a choice with it. I mean, yeah, in this day and age, sure, you can go change your name, whatever. But at the end of the day, they're still your blood relative. You can't change that. That is your identity. It is a part of who you are. And so when God says, I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty, that becomes a part of our identity. We've trusted in Christ to be our Savior, that we've believed in what God the Father did in sending His Son to die for us and take the death that we deserved. All right? Like, took on the punishment, the beating, the murder that we deserved for our sin to make us right with God. We've been changed. Our identity changed. Who we are changed. Our identity is in Christ and is found in being a saved people. I think back to family reunions on my dad's side especially because they're the most interesting. And one of my aunts will probably hear this before it's over with, which she'll get a big kick out of. But I mean, there's a few things you're always going to see at a royalty family reunion in the middle of Kentucky, okay? One is Big Red Cola. I don't even know if you know what that is. I'm still not sure where that's even coming from. Like, I can't go buy it here, but they have it up there. And it's always there in 2-liter form, okay? So we have Big Red, and I think I've got a few cousins that like to mix Big Red with other stuff in their pickup trucks before they come in. And then you always see Big Red. You always see lots of food, lots of good food. There's always fried chicken because even if the worst case scenario, my dad is going to go buy Kentucky Fried Chicken to make sure that we have fried chicken because it's not a family reunion without fried chicken. And then another thing you're always probably going to see is a mullet, at least one. I mean, it's just part of the gig. And I've got pictures somewhere. My family's jacked up. My family's jacked up, but I love them. I love them. And I love that they're not all the same. And they think I'm crazy. I make fun of them. I mean, I show up in the middle of Kentucky with a mohawk. They think I'm insane. Okay, they're like, you have lost your mind. You need to be careful. Somebody's going to shoot you around here. Okay? And they're right. Somebody might. But the beauty of it is this, is that they're my family. And no matter how jacked up they are, no matter how jacked up I am, we love each other and we're there for each other. If they need me, I'm there. And the truth is that we want to say that we're that as far as being a part of the family of God. But the truth is that we're not really always willing to put ourselves out there like that because it's messy. And we can use things like the excuse of like, I've already got a family that's messy, okay? Let me just tell you something. Let me just help you see something. God called us to this. He called us to shine our lights before men. He called us to live together. He sent his son, Jesus, to be an example for us to see what it would even look like. That he would drag these guys all over the country that, mind you, were probably not the easiest guys to deal with. and you've probably got like one person, you know, if you work with just a handful of people, you've always got at least like one that's like a handful to deal with. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus had 12, okay? Let's face it. That couldn't have been easy, all right? But he showed us something that glorifies God, and that's that in community together, in living together and being there for one another and living out what we see in Acts chapter 2, going with the apostles, teaching, fellowshipping together, breaking bread, he's giving us the examples of how we can do this ourselves. And so whenever I invite somebody to come to our house church, community group, whatever you want to call it, people look at you funny at first, and I can always tell, like, they're like, and I invited somebody this morning, they weren't looking at me funny at least, but you know, I went ahead and just went ahead and explained what it was, because so many people have so many ideas of what it was. And I said, well, you know, it's not really just a Bible study kind of thing. It's not, you know, it's more of like we hang out, we eat together, we try to be involved in one another's lives. And this is our way of just spending time together. I mean, this is the biblical, like we're breaking bread together. And I can guarantee you this week, before the week's up, somebody is going to put on our little page, hey, this is going on. Will you guys pray for me about this? Or, hey, this is going on. You know, this person needs help. Can you guys help me help them? Kind of thing. And we jump in and we help each other. Because we love each other. Because we're family. God's called every one of us to do this. And as a church, we're more than, if you haven't figured out by now, we're more than feeling led and pushing us to living this out on a regular basis. So much so, I want to kind of show you what it looks like for just a second. Because you've heard us talk about community groups and house church, that kind of thing. And just even the word house church, I think, like, scares people to death. But let me kind of debunk it just a little bit. Let me show you how. I'm going to pretend, okay? We're going to do a little pretending. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, anyone? Okay? We're going to do a little pretending right now. And I'm going to use some of you to do it. All right? So y'all ready? I'm going to select some of you. All right? Some of you are going to actually stand up for me. Some of you are about to crawl under your seat right now. Okay? You're hoping that I won't call your name. But I probably will, just because I know how crazy it's going to make and I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. I'm just kidding, Heather. But no. No, let's do this. Let's see. Jeff, why don't you stand up where you are, okay? Let's just say, just to kind of make it simple, let's just say that these two sections right here are a neighborhood, okay? And let's say that these two sections are a neighborhood, all right? And then, Jason, why don't you stand up? All right, so we've got Jeff and Catfish, all right? And they're standing up, and here's what they're doing. Let's just say that both of these guys have felt led to lead out in trying to make community happen within their neighborhood. Okay, so you got this neighborhood over here. We got this neighborhood over here. Let's say Stephen and Beth, you guys stand up, and Chris and Sherry, y'all stand up, and let's see who else. Jesse, won't you stand up? Tish, won't you stand up? All right, so. And you're all by yourself. What do you think about that? You wasn't expecting that today. So, again, you're just trying to come to church, right? Sinner. I'm going to get my mileage out of that one. And so here's the deal. So Jeff has got these people that are standing up, and they come together, you know, once a week or, you know, whatever, and they're trying to do this. I mean, and to be honest with you, there's no like surefire way. It always works like this. But here's the point. Here's what they see themselves as. They see themselves as a church that meets in this neighborhood. So then we've got these people over here. So we've got like Jody and, you know, all these other people and, you know, that are part of the neighborhood. But as you can see, all these houses are scattered out in this neighborhood over here, right? So not all like just next door. I mean, because it doesn't usually work out that way. Sometimes it kind of does, which is kind of nice. Actually, it kind of does sometimes in Jeff's neighborhood, I think. But what you've got is that. So then we've got Catfish over here in his neighborhood. Let's get the Baileys to stand up over here. Let's go ahead. We'll have the Lynch clan. Y'all can stand up with your husband and your daddy and everybody. All right. And then Max, Judy, want y'all stand up. And so we've got this going. But I'm kind of purposely leaving people out here. You see what's happening here? Because here's the deal. There's a lot of people this day and age that will never step foot in the door of a church building. And the truth is this. Again, we're not called to go to church, do church. We are called to be the church. And so for us to be the church, we can't be scared of a house church name. It's not to scare anybody. It's the understanding that we're trying to be a micro church, which is why we call them that when we do around here, that they're a micro church within that neighborhood that's a part of the larger church. You know, they haven't separated. Jeff hasn't started a cult and Catfish hadn't, you know, filed for 401c3 or whatever. They haven't started like brand new churches or whatever, although they might down the road. God might lead them to do that. But the point here is that they see themselves as ministering to the other people in the neighborhood. There's all these other people that are around them living in the neighborhood. And see, we've got whole sections here of the neighborhood that nobody, you know, they're not even a part of this yet. They haven't been reached. You guys can sit down. But for us to recognize the opportunity that we have as the church is that it shouldn't be some come and see thing. We've been called to go, right? And if we can't go right there in our neighborhood, we've missed it. And so the biggest opportunity, I believe, for us is that we could live out the Acts 2 model that we see right there of people breaking bread together. They're going about teaching together. They're pushing on each other. I think out of these we'll see life transformation groups kind of come out of these naturally and that kind of thing. This is our calling, that we would live in community with one another. And to be honest with you, as scared as everybody is to try to talk to anybody about Jesus for fear of what they may think of them or whatever else it is, the truth is that we're much more likely to do it together, right? We're much more likely to say, hey, here's Tony Crick over here. He's a neighbor. I talked to him the other day when we were taking out the trash, and he seemed like a pretty nice guy. You know what? I invited him to come. I think he's going to come. So let's pray for him together. All of Jeff's crew, we're going to pray for him together. Tony needs some prayer, boy. He just had a baby. He don't even know what's going on right now. He's up in the middle of the night and asking questions why. Brother used to go to bed at 8 o'clock. That's the truth, too, isn't it? But you see what I'm saying. It's us on mission together, but it's also us ministering to each other. It's also the fact that, you know, we can be there for one another when we need somebody to be there for one another. Because here's the truth. Every church, hopefully, keeps growing. This church keeps growing. We keep multiplying. And we're most interested in multiplying disciples. But we're also going to continue to grow in number. And you guys know there's no way that, you know, a couple of pastors are going to keep up with every single person. I got to say, thank you for being gracious and understanding that. But my concern is that I want somebody to be involved in everybody's lives. I want us to all be involved in one another's lives and living this out. Because when that happens, God is glorified. We're shining our lights before men. We're being who we've been called to be. And we're not out on some lonely island where we can fall off and nobody miss us. Right? If you're interested in being a part of this, we'd love to talk with you. Maybe it's not something that happens overnight for you, but I want you to begin praying about it as a family. I want you to begin praying about what's it look like for our family to be involved in community with other people, to live this out, to be a part of a house church community group. I don't care what they're called. The point in all of them is the same. It's the glory of God by living our lives together and sharing our lives with each other. This morning, you might be listening to all this and just going, you know, that's a lot of stuff. And I just came to a church today. That's all I know. And I just want you to know something. I want you to know that no matter what your background is or what has happened in your past, I want you to know that God loves you and that he sent his son to die for you, just like he sent his son to die for me. And if you believe in Jesus, you'll feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart. And what that's about is that He's saying, believe. He's saying, trust me. He's saying, come on. Put your faith in me. Let me be the Lord of your life. Let me take over. Let me lead you. Let me be in charge from here on out. And we'll do this together. It is the most freeing thing that will ever happen in your life. And at that moment, you will be forgiven of everything you've ever done and everything you will do. Jesus saves sinners, to which every one of us are. We need him. We need him to rescue us. For those of us that have already trusted in Christ this morning, we're reminded of this truth, okay? Very simple truth. And it's this. We are the church. We, not buildings. We are the church. And we are family. Okay? Let us be family for each other. Let's be real family for each other. A couple weeks, we're going to be doing our first Sunday. It'll be the second Sunday of February this time. In a couple weeks, we'll be doing our first Sunday. We'll actually be centered around community that day. Coming in on that day, I want to encourage you to think about it like this. I want you to think about it like a big old family reunion. All right? That's all I'm going to give you on that. Let's pray together.